Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Viewers, this is the 14th episode of the 18th topic. We have discussed the isnad of the seven canonical readings which Abu Bakr ibn Mujahid chose in his own times and which became very famous, and they were regarded to be canonical amongst Muslims ever since that time. We had discussed the isnad of all these seven famous canonical readers whom he had chosen, and we had seen that none of them can be regarded as mutawatir in their upper isnad. Remember, we were discussing the upper isnad, which means the isnad from that reader to a companion or to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself. So we had seen that none of these readings can be classified as mutawatir, and although this fact was already evident because these isnads have been written and described in our earliest qiraat books, but since people have laid claim to the tawatur of these readings in recent times, so therefore this analysis had to be redone perhaps. Also, in my own analysis, I had shown that as far as these readings are concerned, the fact that they are ahad, they are not mutawatir, is absolutely certain. But the nature of these ahad is also brought into question by me when I said that many of these readings are munkata, they are broken, their chains of narration, many of them hardly reach the Prophet or even a companion. And at times, they do not even go beyond the reader himself. And that is where I'd like to also recap here and present a summary. But before I do so, let me also posit the fact that why is it that readings should be regarded as ahad or mutawatir? Now, as far as mutawatir is concerned, we know that mutawatir means that transmission is of the nature that in each section of the transmission that such a large number of people transmit what is being transmitted, that any collusion on forgery is ruled out. And therefore, it is because of this aspect of mutawatir transmission that it yields necessary knowledge. And as in the terms of our usuliyin, it is called ilmu zaruri, so that, which means that's something which cannot be denied. It's a certain knowledge. So that is why it is essential to note that when we discuss the transmission of the Quran, the issue of tawatur comes into play, because when our usulis and our scholars claim that the Quran is certain, it has not been changed, it has reached us in the same shape the way it was revealed, they claim this, or they make this claim on the basis that the Quran is mutawatir, it has been transmitted in such a way, and such a large number of people have transmitted it in this way, that any chances of any forgery are ruled out in each section of transmission. So the number of people in each section is so large. But if this is not the case, and if on the other hand we find these readings to be ahad the way they have been shown here, then of course they cannot yield ilmu zaruri, they cannot yield certain knowledge. They can, as our scholars would say, yahtamilu sidq wal kizb, they can be correct and they can be incorrect, and they cannot be regarded to be certain. And it is also evident that all our scholars, they think and they maintain this fact that the Quran is something which is transmitted by tawatur, and therefore this is something of a issue which we shall come up again in the very last topic when we take up the reconstruction of the history of the Quran. But as for now, I wanted to just briefly allude to the fact that the reason that the ahad or the tawatur nature of a reading comes into discussion is because if these are mutawatir, then it would mean that all of them are actually, all of them constitute the Quran. And if they are not, then none of them can constitute the Quran, because it is claimed separately that the Quran is something which is mutawatir. So that we'll take up, inshallah, once we reach the final chapter or the final topic of our whole history that we have revisited in so many talks. I'd like to also just make a brief recap on each of the seven canonical readers regarding the chains of narration, so that you can just have them in their nutshell. And I also shall comment on the nature of these ahad readings by presenting to you some of the earliest authorities of our Muslim literature and Muslim qiraat experts who have commented upon the nature of these readings, that they are ahad. So, but before I present those comments, just let me give you a brief recap of those seven readings that we have already done in a very brief manner. So as far as Nafi's reading is concerned, you can see the chart which is being displayed before you. This chart actually shows the teachers of Imam Nafi and the teachers of his teachers, as has been claimed by our earliest books. And when I say earliest books, I include Abu Bakr ibn Mujahid's Kitab al-Sarba, Dani's Jami' al-Bi'an, and similarly some of the other books. But these are the primary two earliest sources which depict the isnad of these readings. And again, a point of caution here is that when I say these isnad are mentioned, then I am talking about the teachers which are mentioned here are all isnad based. So there are other claims regarding the teachers of our famous readers, but most of them, or many of them, are just they are just descriptions of names without any isnad. So the chart that you are being shown here is the isnad based content reading of Nafi, the way it is supposed to reach a companion. But if my critique is taken into account, then you can see from the chart now that is being displayed before you that only a single strand can be established vis-a-vis the teachers of Nafi, and that too does not go right up to a companion. You can see that the only teacher of Nafi who is established is Yazid ibn al-Qarqa, and from him the only teacher established is Abdullah ibn Ayash ibn Abi Rabia, and that is all. And from here we cannot ascertain whether he actually is a student of Ubay ibn Ka'b or not. And this of course would mean that Nafi's reading is munqata. So that is the first conclusion, or the first reader that we had discussed and drawn this conclusion. The second second reader is Abdullah ibn Kasir, and you can see that his reading is now being displayed before you in the form of a schematic illustration. So you can see the three alleged teachers of Abdullah ibn Kasir actually are Abdullah ibn Saib, and then we have Mujahid, and then we have Dirbas Mawla ibn Abbas. So this is the chart which is made on the basis of the information which has been provided to us by our earliest authorities. And as I said, this is all isnad based. But if my critique on this chart is entertained, then I have shown earlier on that only a single strand can be established all the way to a companion, and he is Ubay ibn Ka'b. And you can see that this strand, the single strand, is being displayed before you. So Abdullah ibn Kasir to Mujahid to Abdullah ibn Abbas to Ubay ibn Ka'b. So that is a single strand that can be established. So this is as far as Abdullah ibn Kasir's reading is concerned. Now, as far as Asim ibn Najud's reading is concerned, you can see the chart is being displayed before you, which is claimed by our earliest books. And from in that chart, you can see that there are three teachers of Asim ibn Najud, and the first of them is Abu Abdurrahman As-Sulami. Then we have Zir ibn Hubaysh, and in the third place we have Abu Amr As-Shaybani. But this is as far as the claim is concerned regarding his teachers. And of course, the chart also shows that Abu Abdurrahman read out to Ali ibn Abi Talib, and Zir ibn Hubaysh was a student of Abdullah ibn Masud in this regard. But if my critique is entertained and accepted vis-a-vis this reading, then none of Asim's teachers are established. So at the very start, Asim's reading would turn out to be a munqata one. So therefore, this is the third reciter that you have seen in this regard. Now, in this regard, the fourth person whom we discussed was Hamza ibn Habib al-Zayyat. And you can see that the chart that now being displayed before you actually presents his chain of narration the way it has been reported in our earliest books. But again, if my critique is accepted, and you can see the chart tells us that as far as Hamza's teachers are concerned, we have the claim of Humran ibn Ayyum al-Amash ibn Abi Layla, Mansur ibn Mu'tamir, Jafar ibn Muhammad, Abu Ishaq al-Sabi, Mughira ibn Miksam, and Lays ibn Abi Sulaim. So these are the teachers who are claimed to be the teachers of Hamza ibn Habib al-Zayyat. And if my critique on this is accepted, then none of these teachers is established. None of them is established. And again, we would see that Hamza's reading would turn out to be munqata as well. Now, in the fifth place, we have Ali ibn Hamza al-Kisai. He is the fifth person in this regard. Also, let me just briefly recap that Nafi ibn Abi Nu'aym, the first one that we discussed, he actually belonged to Medina. Then we had Abdullah bin Kasir. He belonged to Mecca. And then in the third place, we have Asim ibn Najud, and he actually belonged to Kufa. And then Hamza ibn Habib al-Zayyat also belongs to Kufa. And now the fifth person that we're discussing is Ali ibn Hamza al-Kisai, and he also belongs to Kufa. And now you can see the chart being displayed before you, which is presented, which is actually a representation of what is already presented in our books, early Qiraat books. And if my critique is accepted, then again, the problem here is that not a single teacher of Ali ibn Hamza al-Kasai is established, and his reading is also munkata at its very start. The sixth person, viewers, in this regard is Ali Abu Amr ibn al-Ula, and he belongs to Basra. He's a Basran Qari. And as far as he is concerned, you can see that his chain of narration is being displayed before you. And the teachers are evident from this chain of narration. And they are Yazid ibn Qarqa, Shaybah ibn Nisa, Abdullah ibn Kathir, Muhammad ibn Abdirhamad ibn Muhaysan, Mujahid, Sayyid ibn Jubair, Humayd ibn Qais, Yahya ibn Yarmar, and then we have Nasr ibn Asim, Abu al-Aliya, and Al-Hasan. So these are the teachers of Abu Amr ibn Ula. But if my critique is accepted, then not a single teacher of Abu Amr ibn Ula is established except Sayyid ibn Jubair. But the problem is that Sayyid ibn Jubair himself, from whom did he acquire the Quran, that is not, that it cannot be reliably established. So the reading goes on from Abu Amr ibn al-Ula to Sayyid ibn Jubair, but it does not go beyond that. So this is the case of the sixth canonical reader. As far as the seventh person in this regard is concerned, viewers, he is Abdullah ibn Amir, and he belonged to Syria. So in this regard, as you can see, he has three teachers. One of them is Al-Mughira ibn Abi Shahab. The second one is Abu Darda. Both of these charts are being displayed before you. And the third teacher, who is claimed to be the person who has is a teacher of Abdullah ibn Amir, he is Usman ibn Affan, رضي الله عنه. In my own research, I had shown that none of these teachers are established, and therefore Abdullah ibn Amir's reading is munkata right from its inception. So you can see all in all that in all these seven canonical readers, the only person whose reading can go right up to a companion, he is Abdullah ibn Kasir of Mecca, and that too just a single strand. So you can see how badly reflected is this claim that these readings are mutawatir. They are not even aha. They are most of them are munkata. If these chains of narration are critically viewed the way I have viewed them. So this is, in a nutshell, viewer, a summary of what we have already discussed in the past 13 episodes of this topic. But I would also now like to present before you the opinions of some of the famous authorities regarding the status of these qira'at. And I am doing this just to strengthen the claim that how our past authorities have regarded them to be ahad. None of the famous authorities, none of the people of importance have ever regarded them to be mutawatir. And therefore, this claim stands in line what we have seen regarding these chains of narration. But just to complete this discussion, I would like to present some of the earliest authorities in this regard. Now, let me first of all present before you the case of Abu Ja'far ibn Jarir al-Tabri. We know that he had compiled a voluminous book in this regard, but that book is not extant, it has been lost. And he had actually compiled 20 of these readings. Although his tafsir, Jami'ul Bayan, is the famous tafsir, the tafsir of Tabari, we can see that he refers to some of these readings, but that is only a glimpse, perhaps, of what he had compiled when he had wrote that huge and voluminous book on Qira'at. We can see that he rejects a number of readings which were later regarded to be canonical. And this is something very strange, because had they been mutawatir, he would never have criticized some of these readings. And when he is actually criticizing these readings, he is actually at times criticizing them on the basis of some grammatical aspect or some of the other aspects. Some of the other aspects which have come into play in his tafsir. But we see that he does not He does not have any qualms in rejecting a reading if he thinks that it is not correct. And I would like to give you some examples in this regard. And I should also like to point out that Dr. Labibus Said has recorded 89 instances where Tabari has actually rejected a canonical reading. When I say a canonical reading, obviously I refer to the readings of these seven readers. So there, Dr. Labib Said, in his book is actually called Zifa'an Al-Qirat Al-Mutawatira Fi Muwajihat Tabari Al-Mufassir. So he has actually presented 89 instances in which Tabari has rejected a canonical reading. I'm just going to give you a few examples just to give you an idea how Tabari actually rejects a reading which later was adopted by one of these seven canonical readers. And had it been mutawatir, of course, in that case, it would have yielded certain knowledge, and Tabari would not have ventured even to reject any of these readings. But the fact that he has rejected some of these readings, which were actually the readings later on of these seven canonical readers, shows and speaks volumes of the fact that these are ahad. So, viewers, let me just give you some examples in this regard. And the first of these examples occurs in the very first surah of the Quran, and that is Surah Fatiha. Now, Tabari has actually rejected the reading of Malik-e Yawmiddin, which is the general reading attributed to Asim and some of the other readers. On the other hand, he has actually accepted the reading of Malik-e Yawmiddin as the valid reading. And that is the reading which is ascribed to Ali ibn Hamza al-Kisai. So Tabari has actually rejected the reading of Asim, which says Malik-e Yawmiddin. This is one example. Let me give you a second example. The second example in this case is verse 285 of Surah Baqarah. You can see that it is being displayed before you. This says, آمن الرسول بما أنزل إليه من ربه والمؤمنون كل آمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسوله. The word كتبه here basically is the reading that he is preferred, and it is attributed to Abu Amr, Asim and Ibn Kasir, Nafi. And the other hand, we find that the reading of كتابه is attributed to Hamza, and he has rejected it, also to Hamza and to Kisai. So he actually prefers the reading of Kutubhi attributed to Abu Amr, Asim and Ibn Kasir, Nafi and Ibn Amir to the other variant in this regard, which is Kitabhi, and which is actually attributed to Hamza and to his student Ali ibn Hamza al-Kisai. So this is a second instance in this regard. And the third instance which I'd like to quote here, viewers, is the first verse of Surah An-Nisa, which is being displayed before you. So it says, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ الَّذِي تَسَاءَلُونَ بِهِ وَالْأَرْحَامِ. So here he dismisses the reading of Al-Arhami, which is declined in the genitive, which is attributed to Hamza ibn Habib al-Zayyad, and prefers the reading of Al-Arhama, which is declined in the accusative and attributed to the remaining six readers. So again, I can give you more examples, but I'll content myself with these three examples, which clearly show that Tabari is actually choosing various readings on the basis of his own ishtihad or his own opinion and rejecting some of the others. And had they been mutawatir, Tabari would never have ventured to do so. This is my contention. Now, let us move on to the second person in this regard, and he is Abu Bakr ibn Mujahid himself, the famous and the very top-notch person in this regard, who is the person who himself chose these seven canonical readers, and they became very famous. Now, the most important point to note here is that there's nowhere in this book, Kitab al-Sa'bah, where he has claimed that he has chosen these readings because they were mutawatir. He has actually never ever mentioned the criteria of tawatur in his selection. On the contrary, as I'm just going to read out, his criteria were totally different. So therefore, the person who is himself responsible, who is himself responsible for selecting and choosing these readers, himself never mentioned that it was because of the tawatur of these readings. But he has mentioned some of the other readings, which I'm just going to take up. So in order to just gauge the fact what his view is, Let me just read a small excerpt from his Kitab al-Sa'bah. And his words are, فَهَاُلَا عِسَبَعَةُ نَفَرِينَ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْحِجَازِ وَالْعِرَاقِ وَالشَّامِ خَلَفُوا فِي الْقِرَاءَةِ التَّابِعِينَ وَأَجْمَعَتْ عَلَىٰ قِرَاءَتِهِمُ الْأَوَامِ مِنْ أَهْلِ كُلِّ مِصْرِ مِنْ هَذِهِ الْأَمْصَارِ الَّتِي سَمَّيْتُ وَغَيْرِهَا مِنْ الْبُلْدَانِ الَّتِي تَقَرَّبَ مِنْ هَذِهِ الْأَمْصَارِ. So, what he says is that, so these seven from Hijaz, Iraq, and Syria inherited the reading of the Tabi'un, or of course the generation following the Sahaba. And there is a consensus of the masses of these territories, I have just mentioned, and other nearby ones on the reading of their respective readers. So basically what he's saying is that they are representative of their own areas. The people of their own areas gathered on the reading of these people, and that is all. He is not saying that they possess tawatur right from a companion or right from the prophets himself or into the next generation. What he's saying is that his selection is that these were the people who had became famous and on whom people of their own areas agreed in their own times. Now, in this regard, viewers, if we also refer to the chapter on Surah Fatiha, which he has actually, when he was discussing the variants in Surah Fatiha, he has actually furnished syntactical justifications of various readings of this surah. He's actually discussed the syntactical, the grammatical justifications of various readings, which clearly tells us that if these are these grammatical justifications, then obviously his preference is on the basis of these justifications, or these are the justifications which are basically grammatical in their essence, they're syntactical, they're related to Nahav, the Ilmun Nahav, on the basis of which readings are presented, and which clearly tells us that these justifications would not be needed if they were mutawatir readings. Had they been mutawatir, no justification of a reading would have been needed. And I would also like to present the fact that at the end of this chapter, he has interestingly said that if he continues to provide the justifications or the ilal of all these readings, the book would become very voluminous, and therefore he has, at the end he said that I'm not going to do that. It was just in Surah Fatiha that he had actually done so. And he has just continued to cite the differences of reading without any presenting any syntactical differences in the later surahs. He's just cited the reading without giving any justifications. And it may also be noted that his own very famous student, who himself became an authority, Abu Ali al-Farsi, has actually pointed out the ilal of these variant readings, which he found in his own mentor's book, and his famous book Al-Hujja Liqira al-Sabra is actually these ilal or these justifications which he has presented of his mentor's book Kitab al-Sa'bah. So this clearly tells us, viewers, that it is the fact that Abu Bakr ibn Mujahid himself, the purpose of his selection was that these readers were ones on whose reading the people of their own areas, like Syria, Iraq, Kufa, Basra, they had gathered upon. And it is not that the fact that it was something which relates to the Tawatur from the Prophet downwards. So I would say that this is something of a very, very important nature that we must note, because he is a person who was responsible for selecting and choosing these readers. And if he has not mentioned that Tawatur was any basis of his selection, then clearly we can see that his own import was that the areas in which these people or these qaris had become very famous. And we also know that Kufa was a place in which he could not actually decide, or he could not actually present a single name. For the rest of the territories, he has presented a single name for each territory. For Medina, he's presented Nafi. For Mecca, he's presented Abdullah bin Kasir. For Syria, he is presented Abu Abdullah ibn Amir. For Basra, he's presented Abu Amr ibn al-Ula. But for Kufa, he has presented three people: Asim ibn Najud, Hamza ibn Habib al-Zayyat, and Ali ibn Hamza al-Kisai. Three of them, because in his opinion, one cannot say that there is a single person on whom the whole territory was gathered upon. So he had to name these three people. So I think this discussion speaks volumes of the fact that he himself never thought that he is choosing these readers because their readings are mutawatir. Viewers, next I come to another famous authority in this regard, and he is Makki ibn Abi Talib, and his Kitab al-Ibana is also an excellent one of the earliest books on this topic, and I would like to present now what he has written, and we can clearly gauge what he has said from his excerpts. It also tells us how he has actually presented the criteria of acceptable and non-acceptable reading. So in his own right, he has actually put forth the criteria on the basis of which a reading shall be regarded as acceptable or not acceptable. And as you can see, as I shall just read out before you, he does not mention the criteria of tawatur here. He does not mention it. So let me see, just read out what he has written. He says, أَنَّ جَمِيعَ مَا رُوِيَ فِي الْقُرْآنِ عَلَى ثَلَاثَةِ أَقْسَامِ قِسْمٌ يُقْرَأُ بِهِ الْيَوْمِ وَذَلِكَ مَجْتَمَى فِيهِ ثَلَاثُ خِلَالِ وَهُنَّ أن ينقل عن الثقات عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ويكون وجهه في العربية التي نزل بها القرآن صائغا ويكون موافقا لخط المصحف فإذا اجتمعت فيه هذه الخلال الثلاث قرئ به لأنه أخذ عن إجماع من جهة موافقته لخط المصحف وكفر من جهده. So he has presented a detailed account of his own criteria regarding the acceptance of readings. So he says that all the transparent Quranic readings are of three types. To the first category belong readings which are read today, and they are characterized by three features. The first of them is that they are transmitted through reliable narrators right up to the Prophet Muhammad. They have been revealed in the widely attested Arabic on which the Quran was revealed. So his words are an yunqal an istiqat. The first one is that it has been reported reliably through reliable narrators from the Prophet. And then he says, وَيَكُونُ وَجْهُهُ فِي الْعَرَبِيَّ الَّتِي نَزَلَ بِهَا الْقُرْآنِ, that it has been revealed. They have been revealed in the widely attested Arabic, which is the known Arabic of the Quran. And then in the third place he says, وَيَكُونُ مُوَافَقًا لِخَطِّ الْمُصْحَفِ, that it is in accordance with the script of the Mus'haf. So these are the three criteria that he's put forward, which clearly tell us that none of them actually present us any detail whether they are mutawatir. Of course, they tell us clearly that they are not mutawatir. And any of these conditions do not say that mutawatir is a condition for the acceptance. Now, he further says, if all these features are found in a reading, it shall be read because it has been obtained from consensus vis-a-vis harmony with the script of the Mus'haf. So here consensus actually refers to the consensus on the script of the Mus'haf. And he who denies such a reading shall be guilty of kufr. So he's exactly furthermore presented his case by telling us that a person who denies this shall be guilty of kufr. So viewers, you can clearly see that as far as Makki ibn Abi Talib is concerned, he has the criteria that he has presented, none of them makes none of them boast of the fact that they are mutawatir. And I've just discussed the first of these aqsam or the categories. Of course, he goes on to describe some of the other categories, but my primary reason is to present before you the fact that the criteria that he has presented before us, they are basically three, and none of them actually relates to ijma. None of them relates to tawatur, actually. Let me now move on to the fourth person in this regard, viewers, and he is Abu Sa'id Ad-Dani. And the very title of his book actually speaks volumes that he is not regarding the reading that he's presented in his compendium to be mutawatir. And his book is actually Jami'ul Bayan fil Qirat al-Sab'a al-Mashhura. So in other words, he actually regards them to be mashhura. And the fact that Dani does not regard his readings to be mutawatir is also referred to by Ibn al-Jazari, whom we'll study later, his own excerpt, when he names him among those authorities who hold the three famous criteria as the ones that distinguish an acceptable reading from a non-acceptable one. Ibn al-Jazari in his times has also presented his criteria, which is similar to the ones of Makki ibn Abi Talib. And he has actually referred to the fact that Ad-Dani also subscribes to these criteria. So it becomes evident from the title of his book, which says Al-Mashura, it refers to the Qirat, and also from the fact when another authority refers to Ad-Dani, he actually tells us that Ad-Dani subscribes to these criteria. So although this is implicitly mentioned, But as far as the title of his book is concerned, it is very explicit to mention the fact that actually what he's presenting as readings are, they are just widely attested, but they are not mutawatir. Let me now, viewers, move on to the fifth person in this regard, and he is Ibn Atiyah, and his iqtibas, or his excerpt, has been actually recorded by from Al-Muhar al-Wajiz fi Tafsir Kitab al-Aziz, and his words are, summa in al-Qur'a fil amsar tattabi'u ma ruwiya lahum min ikhtilafat la siyama fi ma wafaqa khatt al-mushaf فقرأوا بذلك حسب اجتهاداتهم فلذلك ترتب أمر القراء السبعة وغيرهم رحمهم الله ومدة العصار والأمصار على قراءة السبعة وبها يصلى لأنها ثبتت بالإجماع. So if a simple translation would be, then the readers of the cities followed what was narrated to them from among the variant readings, in particular those which were in conformity with the Mus'haf. They read these readings by giving preference to the one they adopted according to their ijtihad. And here, viewers, the words is that the preference that they gave was on the basis of their opinion, their own ijtihad, various reasons. From this the matter of the seven readers and others besides them was formed. From this arose the matter under the case of these readers. Time passed on the seven readers, and these readings were read in various areas. And on them the prayer was read because the acceptance of these readings has been substantiated through consensus. And here again, the consensus should not be meant to imply the fact that it's a consensus of the Ummah, but again, because of the fact that the people of these areas, they were gathered on these readings. This is quite clear from the context. So viewers, Ibn Atiyah is even more explicit when he points out the fact that it was on the basis of ijtihad, on the basis of opinion, on the basis of various factors which led them to prefer one reading over the other, that was the reason. And this, of course, was the basis of the acceptance. And clearly, this is a far cry from the claim that these readings are mutawatir. So we can see that this is something which is very common. And furthermore, viewers, in his own tafsir, which is Al-Muhrar al-Wajiz, you can see that Ibn Atiyah is actually giving preference to a particular canonical reading on the basis of his own opinion, his own rai, his own ijtihad, because of various reasons that led him to this ijtihad, which clearly tells us that, again, this issue is something which is, again, based on these readings are ahad, and they are chosen or preferred one over the other on the basis of ijtihad. The sixth person view that I'm going to discuss is Abu Bakr ibn al-Arabi, and he in his Al-Awasim and Al-Qawasim says that people have imposed three conditions for the acceptance of a Quranic reading, and they are sound transmission, correct Arabic, and conformity with the script of the Mus'haf. Again, we do not find any mention of the fact that they are mutawatir, and if I quote his exact words, they are, وَهَذَا كُلُّهُ إِنَّمَا أَوْجِبَهُ أَنَّ جَمْعَ السَّبْعِ لَمْ يَكُمْ بِإِجْمَعَ وَإِنَّمَا كَانَ بِإِخْتِيَارِ مِنْ وَاحِدْ أَوْ أَحَادْ. All these conditions have been made mandatory because all the seven readings have not been transmitted through consensus, but rather through the choice of one or few individuals. So here again, the word ijma is used in the other sense in which the ijma of the ummah perhaps is implied. Here he says that it is basically the ikhtiyar, or the selection, or the choice of a couple of readers or people who chose them, that they were transmitted. So anna jam'a sab'a lam yakum bi ijma, it is not to the consensus that they were transmitted, but they were transmitted bi ikhtiyari min wahid. So one or a couple of people transmitted them. And he says precisely because of this reason, three conditions had to be imposed. These conditions are not named in this excerpt, but they have been named just prior to this excerpt. And as I said, they are correct Arabic, conformity with the script, and sound transmission. So he says that these conditions were precisely imposed. The reason was imposing these conditions was that they have not transmitted through consensus, but because of the ikhtiyar of a few individuals, and since they could falter, so therefore these conditions were imposed so that they could make the reading, the acceptable reading, as sound So viewers, in this talk, I will confine myself to the opinions of these six authorities whom I presented before you. In the later talks, in the later episode or the next episode, I shall take up some of the other authorities who have presented their view regarding the nature of transmission of these readers. So till now, we have seen that most of the famous authorities, like, for example, At-Tabari, Abu Bakr ibn Mujahid, Ad-Dani, and Abu Bakr ibn Arabi, all of them we have seen that the way they have described these qiraat, none of them regard them to be mutawatir. So inshallah, in the next episode, I shall take up some of the other authorities in this regard and see what they say. Till then, aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullaha li wa lakum wa lisairil muslimina wal muslimat.